I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. I'm sitting here with Aaron Strecker.
Hey.
As well as Chris Payne.
Yo, what's up?
And my name is Joe Lynch. And before we start, I wanted to do a serious moment, an actual serious thing. Obviously terrible things happen throughout the world constantly, but recently something happened that affected music fans. There were over 80 of them just gunned down pointlessly and mercilessly, seeing an Eagles of Death Metal concert, and that's just shitty, and the people who did it are shitty, and it's shitty that things like that happen in the world, but it's important to remember that ultimately, even though they might not make the news, there's more people who don't suck out there than the ones that do suck. And history has shown us, if anything, the progressive people are the ones that win, ultimately. So I just wanted to say that. And with that, let's move on to things that are not quite as depressing.
We're good people.
Yeah. I think we fall into that.
We're going to win. We're going to win, guys.
Yeah. But anyways, so aside from Paris, it seems silly to talk about other stuff, but what the hell? That's what we're going to do. So let's start with, we have another new Adele song.
Mm-hmm.
The song is called When We Were Young, and this is the second full song we've heard from 25. So the version we have is like a live version, technically. It's like live from the studio, or what's the deal with this?
Yeah, it's like live from some specific studio. So the video shows about a minute of her kind of prepping and getting ready, and then a live recording. So it probably differs very, very slightly from the studio version. Of course, her album drops today.
Yeah, by the time this podcast posts up, this album will be out.
We haven't heard that yet, but so it'll be slightly different. But we're gonna be talking about that version. But I love this song. I personally loved this song more than Hello. Speaking with other people, I know that that's maybe a minority opinion. But I liked it from the get-go, and I like it more and more the more I listen to it. I really like the line, "You look like a movie, you sound like a song." I don't know. I feel like it's like a really good slow burner, and then like halfway through the song, and this may be particular to the video, the live version video that we were watching. But it feels like she just, like, really gets going and, like, hits peak Adele. And she's so into it. And it's so fun to watch her perform. And so I think that definitely adds to the enjoyment of the song. But it's really great. And I think it's funny that she's talking about when we were young and she's 26 years old.
Isn't she 27 now? But you're right. It is kind of...
Well, the album's called 25. So regardless of what age she is in her 20s, I think it's funny that, you know, she sings like this 50-year-old woman. But it totally works, so she should keep doing what she's doing.
She's an old soul.
Yeah.
Because she was saying that the song's about, like, being at a party when you're 50 or something and seeing all the young people and, like, seeing your past through them and, like, all the things you've been through with those people and the love and the friendship. And we're like, yeah, you're still pretty young, Adele.
It's fine. Adele can sing about whatever she wants.
Yeah, well, Katy Perry had that whole video. Was it Unconditionally, the one where she imagines herself an old lady, like, looking back on her life?
I think it was something off Teenage Dream, but yeah.
Was it?
Yes, you're totally right.
But yeah, I feel like there's
a Titanic woman.
There's a, yeah, kind of like a fetish thing people have, like, in music in general, like, to imagine yourself an old person. like looking back on your life, even though you're just, well, also Lady Gaga did an SNL skit where that was the essence.
That was
of
funny
it.
Though.
That was funny. Though.
That was good.
That one was actually good. Anyway, so this is like a thing people do. But yeah, so yeah, this Adele song, when I first listened to it, I did not like it. And I didn't like it because I was like, oh, it's just not that catchy. And even though like Hello doesn't seem catchy, like it is really hooky. And listening to this, I was like, oh, this just isn't as much, I don't want to say fun because it's not like Hello is fun, but it's like fun to get into the spirit of it. But after, like, I sat on it and 24 hours later, I listened to it and I was like, okay, this is a really good song. This is like solid. It's not like a single. Well, fuck, maybe it is a single. I don't know. But I don't believe it is going to be a single. It seems like an album track, but it's just really solid and like well put together and her voice sounds great. So I think it's a slow, more of a slow burn sort of thing. Like Hello, like definitely hit you the first time and made an impression.
Yeah, it's interesting the way it's being presented to us too. And we already said this, but the caveat is that you're listening to this in the future. We are speaking from the past context of not having yet heard the studio version of 25 in its entirety, but we're getting this new song via like a live studio recording setting, which is probably a little bit more stripped down than the album version will be. Normally it's the other way around where you get to like first sink into that more immersive experience of the studio treatment of the song and then hear like the stripped down raw live. This is the other way.
Yeah. So, but you know,
I felt similar to you, Joe, about liking, I liked Hello more. This one, it's, I enjoy her vocals a lot on it, twisting and turning with that melody, but I think I'm looking for more of that sweeping Adele production that you had in Hello.
Yeah. Well,
but maybe I'll get that on the album
we'll
track.
Find out. I did not expect this, I'm going to be honest.
Wait, what were you expecting?
I guess honestly I should have expected this, but I liked it so much more than Hello, and I know that is not a popular opinion. Mm. So to hear both of your points, like I totally agree. I agree with them and I totally see where you're coming from, but at the same time, I feel like this might, I haven't heard the rest of the album yet, but I feel like this could easily be my favorite song on the album.
Hmm. Wow.
I know, bold words.
Like I said, you know, it took me 24 hours. Like, maybe 48 hours from now, I'm going to be like, this is my favorite song of all time. That's probably not going to happen. But I am jealous of my future self, because that future self is going to be listening to the Adele album, and I'm very excited for that.
It's true.
I have to say, well, anyways, well, yeah, so we'll get on to... I was gonna jump out, but yeah, let's listen to it. So it's Adele, When We Were Young, and it's from 25, which is available now. You look like a movie. You sound like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we were young. Let me photograph you in this light, in case it is the last time that we might be exactly like we were before we realized we were sad of getting old. All right, that's the new Adele, When We Were Young. All right, I'm going to do one of... Let's rewind it back to last week's big release. Well, one of last week's big releases. So Justin Bieber dropped Purpose on the same day that a little band called One Direction dropped Made in the AM. We had talked about a couple of the Bieber tracks on this podcast, not as many as I wanted to, because it kind of coincided with the period where we took a break. That when the big Bieber hits like Sorry and What Do You Mean came out. So we didn't really get to dive into those, which is unfortunate because those I think are like two of my favorite songs of this year. They're just like constantly in my head and they're so new and fresh, at least in terms of like top 10 hit pop music, really top 40. Like there's not a lot of like tropical EDM stuff hitting the pop charts, but anyway, so I wanted to do one of the songs from the Bieber album because it's a solid album. I don't think it's per... You know, it's a Justin Bieber album. Like, some of it's a little too saccharine, a little too, you know, like, repetitive. But there are some, like, highlight album tracks. And the one I wanted to call out was his Halsey duet, The Feeling, which I think is just... They performed it today for us, but for you listening now a few days ago on the Today Show in New York and, like, Justin, like, totally sold it. Like, he was, like, touching Halsey's face and like caressing her as if they were like deeply in love. I'm sure that they like probably barely have a personal friendship. You know, this they probably like met once and then went on stage. But still, it's the point is this really kind of romantic duet, and he's selling it really well, and it has a nice hook to it. So this was one of my favorites from the album. But I'm curious what you guys think about it and what like else stood out to you on the Purpose album.
I agree with you, Joe, that this is one of my favorite songs on the album. I think their voices meld together really well. I really liked the Today Show performance. I think it's really smart on Bieber's part to get in on that Halsey train. And mm-hmm. I think it's smart on her part, obviously, to introduce... She's already had such great success with her debut LP, but this is obviously a whole new, bigger audience for her. And there was a... Following their Today Show performance this morning... an old tweet of hers surfaced. I believe she retweeted it again this morning, where she was like, I'm not going to quote it directly, but she basically said, like, even if you don't like Justin, like, you can't deny that he puts on, like, a good show and has good songs. And I feel like this performance and this song was really a way that highlighted her point to that.
Mm-hmm. C-Pain.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable song. One thing that gets me about the album, I honestly never listened to a Justin Bieber album all the way through before this one. And I really enjoy a good portion of the album. It makes me wonder, though, like, because the production on it is so spot on, and his vocals are often very understated. It kind of has me wondering all throughout the album, am I really loving Bieber and what he did on this, or am I just sort of loving this big production that has sort of been led by producers like Diplo and Skrillex, and he's just sort of like the vocalist they need to give it the star power. But anyway, this track for me and that is kind of a microcosm, because Halsey's vocals and even on the hook have such like a pull on it. And Bieber is even more understated because he's sort of like, I think Halsey kind of outsings him on this. I like her part better, and it's like, I really enjoy the experience of this album, but it just makes you think about how much of it is like a Bieber thing.
The artistry of Bieber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely working with a bunch of new guys in this album, and the whole EDM thing is him clearly going in a different direction. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting to wonder how much of that is coming from him and how much of it is a team behind him.
I mean, in terms of the finished product, I mean, as with any pop artist, it's hard to say, like, how much were they really in there, you know, being like, no, I want the bass to drop here. Like, can you give it a little fuzzy sound? Like, who knows if Justin Bieber is, like, in the studio doing that?
I mean, I wasn't really so much getting at that. I mean, that's true of, like, pretty much anyone to some extent who works with producers. I meant more just, like, what his vocals. He's not doing, like, the kind of vocal acrobatics with his vocals front and center in the mix like he was on, like, before this album, like on like those the early Bieber singles,
right? Yeah.
What I was more getting at is like I just straight up what I enjoy more out of it, regardless of who did it, is the production and like the songsmith of this is what I'm going there for.
I think you got to give him credit though for like choosing these people, or you know maybe Scooter was involved in that too, his manager Scooter Braun. But like,
yeah, I mean
making
yeah.
the choice that like this will be his direction. I think is pretty savvy, and it was risky. Like it could have gone
totally
the other
backfired.
Way.
We could be sitting here talking about how Bieber's done.
The safest thing would have been, honestly, to kind of go the route that One Direction is going, which is like model yourself after an established like adult pop group like Maroon 5 or something like that. You know, like they're I'm trying to think of the name of the song they had that sounded just well. Drag Me Down sounds like Maroon 5, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, he's like sort of quote unquote breaking new ground with this. Music, but in like number one pop hits, certainly. So I don't know. I give him credit for that. But I hear what you're saying.
For one thing, well, the first time I listened to the album, of the new songs I was hearing for the first time, besides the obvious singles, my favorite song was Love Yourself, which is a much more minimal song with just a lot of Bieber. And yeah. I think there's guitar. I know it's more mid on.
There's some guitar.
Yeah, it was more of like a Bieber and guitar kind of slow jam song. So I do enjoy that side of it too.
Yeah, and that one's kind of a diss track. He got Bieber being a little being bitchy Bieber.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So let's listen to a little of Justin Bieber and Halsey. The Feeling is the song. Notorious for taking your photo beautiful instead of hello. Hello. Sugar on your lips is hard to kill. Drag it like a pill, so was JB and Halsey. Next, let's do a C-Pain pick. We've got Untouchable from Pusha T. Pusha T, who Billboard, we're going to toot our own horn for a second, Billboard exclusively revealed was the new president of Kanye West's Good Music, I think earlier this
that
week.
It should be more like an air horn. I can't really do an air horn. I don't
know if that's going to sound like
no.
Maybe we should have just passed on that.
I think my air horn was all right.
It sounded pretty good. Anyways, so Pusha has a new song. It samples an old Biggie verse from a Pudgy song, and you picked it, Chris. So what do you?
I mean, I love Pusha T. Like Clips, done some of my all-time huge Clips fanboy. I really love Pusha, that he's still doing big things, and really like getting just the trajectory on him is just keeps going higher. So it's absolutely nothing like oh he's still doing it. It's like oh shit he's making moves.
Right.
So I would think that you never exactly know, but I would think this is like a harbinger of a new album cycle following up My Name Is My Name from a couple years ago. And in that sense, the track itself reminds me a lot of Numbers on the Board, which sort of announced the arrival of that previous album cycle, in that there's no featured guest artist aside from the Biggie sample. It's just like several verses of Pusha just saying what's up with him right now, like giving the Pusha persona of the moment with a very minimal sample. That's like the blueprint for this track, and that's what Numbers on the Board was. I think I like Numbers on the Board a decent amount better than this one, but man, it's just like Pusha giving it to you straight. Like he's like been a drug dealer who never got caught, never went to jail, winning rap. He's like, I'm winning that, winning the rap game, winning everything. But his lyricism is so strong that even though he might be saying a lot of things that are kind of tropes of hip hop, he's using like biblical imagery and like deep references to like specific rap beefs to get this across. I find that really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, you said it better than I could have put it together. But yeah, this song is great. I agree that the lead one from his last album, Numbers on the Board, hit a little bit harder, but I honestly, like, that was maybe my favorite song of that year, like definitely top five.
Yeah.
Like it was just so good. So I'm not like, so to say this isn't as good is being like, oh, but it's still like fucking incredible. Like this is just a great song. I think there's a lot of people who kind of will grab an old Biggie or Tupac sample and kind of use it as a crutch. And like this one is really just like kind of part of the background noise. Like it's not one of the, it's not like a gimmick, you know? It's just part of this overall great sound. And it's a killer track. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I think he was angrier on Numbers on the Board. Like he had more of a chip on his shoulder, and like even the beat, the way like was just like coming at you more.
Yeah.
Where this one he's more like shining because like of his success.
Yeah.
The past couple years of Good Music. With Numbers on the Board, he still hadn't done like a debut solo album. So I guess he was more like angry.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Then.
Yeah. Now he's President Push.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. So it's called Untouchable, new song from the upcoming King Push album, which is I don't think has a release date, but the song's called Untouchable.
The Linux, 500,000 parallel, then ain't nothing written. Yeah. wearing dry fit in my shit. It rides a little better in the cockpit.
Untouchable, uncrushable. Run it in a 600. Untouchable, uncrushable. Run it in a 600.
All right, that's new Pusha T. Next up, let's talk about Aaron. Which was the One Direction song you wanted to?
We can talk about Olivia.
Let's talk about Olivia.
Great. Let's talk about her.
All right. So the so we talked about Bieber. The same day One Direction album came out. It's looking like, by the time this podcast comes out, it still won't be certain. But it's fairly certain that Bieber's album is going to outsell One Direction in the U.S., which is not a huge shock. I think he's on an upswing, and they're definitely kind of like closing a chapter, which is always a little less exciting. So Aaron and I both have a lot of conflicting thoughts about this album, but one thing we definitely agree on is the song Olivia from Made in the AM. So, Aaron, what do you love about Olivia?
I just think it's a really great, really simple pop song, kind of like early Beatles-esque. And the thing that I think is really interesting about this album in general is on their last album, I think they were really trying to be an adult pop band, kind of like you were talking about earlier with Maroon 5. Mm-hmm. And this album, I feel like, and I don't mean this as a diss, but I feel like they just like didn't try to be an adult band at all and instead tried to give fans like one more hit of like the early stuff and of like the boy band, just like simple choruses that are catchy and like remind you of summer and being carefree and all that good boy band jazz as the kind of their farewell. Whereas Bieber, obviously, we were talking like stretched and had brought in the EDM influences and all that. And I think Olivia is one of their better songs in that vein of just trying to give a simple, catchy pop song that's like kind of like a pure bliss type thing. And I'm thinking a step ahead and thinking like they're less successful on some of their songs where they try to do that. But I feel like Olivia is one where they really like nail that.
Cool, yeah. I actually have not gotten the chance to listen to the 1D album yet. But I'm very encouraged, Aaron, by all the things you said about it in that synopsis. Because I was bored by the last album and that adult pop direction. And you remember, like, for people listening, Aaron and I sit next to each other. And Friday morning, I was like, yo, Aaron, those two new, the Bieber and the 1D, they're both on Spotify, right? And you were like, yeah. But I basically just dove in with Bieber and as far as new albums and...
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't fully even worked my way. I listened to some of it, but I haven't fully worked my way through Bieber yet. I've just never been a super fan of his, and I appreciate the risks he's taking right now. But if I'm listening to just like boy band pop, like I'm gonna check out some 1D. JoJo is rolling his eyes at me. No. He hates everything I'm saying.
No, I totally. You should check out the full Bieber.
I absolutely saw the full
Bieber a month ago.
Although it's 20 tracks long and it lags at the. Well, that's this. For some reason, only this special edition is on Spotify, and those last two tracks lag.
Yeah.
But
the acoustic, what do you mean, is cool.
I've heard that. I agree. I like.
But you're right. It does. It totally lags.
The first like five or six, though. Fire.
Yeah.
It tracks
now. Some bangers. So Olivia, it's definitely one of the highlights of the 1D album for me. I think you're right in it kind of has that Beatles-y thing, early Beatles. It specifically like reminds me of the kind of McCartney stuff like Your Mother Should Know, which was kind of his like version of what was called like, British Music Hall, which was kind of like the pre-rock and roll era when people would just get up and do like vaudeville-y like pop shtick on stage. So it's a very like British sound that we kind of know as Americans through the Paul McCartney lens. And that's like kind of what this is, this kind of like fun, goofy sing-along thing. And I think that's great. I think it works for them. I mean, it's certainly not Beatles levels, but you know, it's like, it's a goofy, fun song that I appreciate they have on the album. Like, it's not a wholly self-serious thing. And, you know, and then there are the, like, more somber, meaningful moments, too. Same thing with the 1D album. I mean, towards the end, it really drags.
Right. Although I want to say that I'm going to differ from you, and I think in the same vein as Olivia, but not quite to the same extent, I'm gonna write you a song or whatever that one is called. I think it's really sweet and cute. It's so basic. I'm not
so
saying
gross.
It's some crazy technical achievement, but I think in terms of earwormy simple pop, it's one of their best. And I fully disagree.
Temporary Fix is really fun though.
Fix is really fun, but I feel like Temporary Fix is more in the vein of some of their like we're gonna be more adult now, like Drag Me Down and Temporary Fix. I could feel like Adam Levine could sing Temporary Fix.
Oh. That cuts me right to the core. I'm going to have to ask myself some serious questions if I like that. Anyways, let's listen to it. So it's One Direction from the new album. It's called Olivia. If you don't check out the full album, totally understandable, but I would recommend this song. So here it is.
I didn't give you enough, and all of your friends were saying I'd be leaving you. She's lying in bed with my t-shirt on, just thinking how I went about it wrong. This isn't the stain of a red wine, I'm bleeding love. Things you mean to me, oh, I love you, I love you, I love, I love, I love Olivia. I live for you, I long for you, Olivia. I've been idolizing the light in your eyes, Olivia.
All right, that's some new 1D. Next up, I can't believe I didn't get to this earlier. I'm so excited about this song. So we have new Missy Elliott featuring Pharrell. Song is called WTF. Which I believe stands for what the fuck? I have to look that one up on the Google. But anyways, no. So Missy is one of the all-time best just packages in terms of hip-hop artists. She really had... she doesn't have a bad album. And she had like a run of maybe three that were just like the most forward-thinking hip-hop albums of their time. And I think her last one was 2006. And she never officially retired. She did have health problems, but you know, she always would come up in interviews and be like, yeah, I'm working on an album. It's coming out in the next few years. And 9 years later, we still don't have an album. We do, however, have this song and a crazy video to go with it. And they're just fantastic. Like, and it's very, the one thing I will say, it's very repetitive. I've talked to some people who don't like it. I totally can see why it would be possibly grating. But I find it's got just a really insane, wild groove that she just like works over and over, which is like Missy Elliott's thing. Like she made a career out of making weird sounds that you wouldn't expect to hear in a hip hop song. And this kind of follows in that vein. And you can tell Pharrell's involved in it because the bass line is like pretty slinky and a little slightly sensual. But then there's also the... like Missy Elliott element, which just adds that like completely unrepentant weirdness to the point where like some people are like, oh, it's like almost just too much noise. But for me, like I'm all about the line, like straddling the line between like a cool hook and something that's almost irritating. So that's the new Missy. I'm just like dying over it. I love it. But what do you guys think?
I agree with a lot of what you were saying. I really, really liked it. I particularly like the great drum beat, all the percussion stuff as it was would kind of go in and out. I was like, I want to listen to this more and more.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm wondering if it's going to hold up to a lot of the expectations I've seen people attaching to it. Like, do you think this will do well?
I'm going to say no, but I feel like that's really more a product of the industry / society, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, she's middle-aged rap. I mean, it's hard for any middle-aged pop star, but we've also just never had a female rapper past 40, like, deliver hits.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so fair enough. So, yeah, I like the song. The beat is cool. I think it's a really awesome thing in its own world, potentially, and it would be cool if a track like this was big. But yeah, I wonder like how like the kids who are making Fetty pop right now who love that or like Nicki or Ray Srimmer, I wonder like do they know what we're saying about like Missy Elliott? Like do they feel that? I don't know.
That's a question I 100% can't answer.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, like working with Pharrell, that like big like boom 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 like that big like overinflated bass sound and like Missy just going in. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's neat. I mean, I hope that at the very least, like an album comes out and it finds an audience. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be like as big as she was with Under Construction, but like still received in the same way that, like, I guess other quote-unquote past their prime rappers are, who are still, like, totally respected. You know, like, maybe it's not going to hit... It's not going to hit the radio, but, like, it's going to, like, do well sales-wise that first week.
Yeah.
And it'll get good reviews and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. Because, really, I mean, rap is a relatively new genre, and we've only had, like, a couple people who have successfully aged and, well, I don't want to say, like, the others didn't successfully age, but who have managed to age as well as, like, keep their, like, pop charts,
yeah,
you know, savvy or supremacy or whatever. So it's, and you know, like, is one of those going to be her? Like, probably not, because she has health problems. And, like, quite frankly, she just, like, can't do the promotion that a lot of other people can. Like, she's not capable of being in the public eye, it seems. Or, you know, either that, or she's just chosen not to. I know she's also a comparatively shy person than, like, Jay-Z is. And you know, when you're not, like, constantly promoting yourself, you know, that's also going to work against you, especially with radio. But anyways, yeah, so let's listen to it. So it's Missy Elliott featuring Pharrell, WTF. All right, that's the new Missy. And next and last, we got New Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Wow, this song is so out of place.
New bunch of artists. New Pains from C-Pain.
Although, I guess what makes it familiar to people is the song Laid, which a lot of people know, if not through the fact that it was like a British rock band sit, but because it was covered and became big in the American Pie soundtrack series.
That's how I heard it.
Yeah.
I couldn't place it at first.
So yeah, so the song...
That's how I first heard it too. It's like, I didn't know what, like, this British rock band James was when I was like 14. Like,
yeah.
That's how I know what it is.
Yeah, so the New Pains that Chris picked is a cover of Pains... Or it's Pains of Being Pure at Heart covering British rock band James, their hit Laid, which is kind of like their only recognizable U.S. hit. Like, I know...
But many hits.
They
actually
were big in Britain.
Did a great interview with that band in Billboard like a year ago.
I remember that.
Really? Wow. That's very obscure and great that you remember that. Huh. But yeah, they were really... They went in and just gave a great talk. But anyway, yeah. Made first by... James, the band, popularized in America by Matt Nathanson for the American Pie series, and now covered by Pains of Being Pure at Heart, who are an indie pop band from Brooklyn.
Wow.
But do we want to say something about the song?
Yeah, it's actually not the frontman of the band is Kip Berman, but this is Jen Goma, who's another member of the band and does mostly backing vocals, but occasional lead vocals. She's been in the band for a year or two since their last album cycle. And yeah, this is one of my all-time favorite just like guitar pop songs. It's awesome lyrics, short and sweet, really good melody, great hook, and she sings it well. It's timeless, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you like don't think you know the song, like, you definitely like will know it when you hear it. Like, it's just one of those songs that's like always, but well, one, it's an American Pie, and like it definitely like is just kind of always in the background on like some college leaning radio station. But I thought they did a really nice cover. It was cool to hear. You just said her name and I forgot what her name was.
Jen
already.
Goma.
Yeah, it was
also in Sunny Day in Glasgow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You are armed with facts today.
I mean, yeah. I'm reading some of these off a sheet.
You're ruining the illusion for people listening. No, yeah, it's cool to hear her sing on this. And, you know, I don't honestly know that much about James. Like, I know that they opened for Morrissey on a tour. Like, I know that was, I think, kind of their big break. But this makes me want to, like, look
at... Come along, James.
Come along, blokes.
And we've broken out
don't
the British
any
accent,
meat.
Oh, so it's time.
Yeah, so Aaron
don't
is
kill
just...
any poor animals or I'll murder your family.
That was a terrible Morrissey impersonation. Aaron, do you have thoughts about this song Laid, this cover of Laid. Oh, wow. Well, we're just going to end it there.
Erin, do you like any of the American Pie soundtracks?
You know what? I think at one point I had the original American Pie soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
I couldn't really tell you anything that was on. Well, yes, I could. That one, it's been 1 week since you looked
at that. Oh, yeah, Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. I knew that song.
Well, that's just a classic. There's.
But I remember that song was on that soundtrack.
One of my high school friends, his older brother, who was friends with Sean William Scott, or perhaps still is, actually makes a cameo as a bartender in American Pie 3, which I think is actually called American Wedding.
Oh, yeah. is it the scene where they first come back to the hometown and they like hit the bar?
I think so.
And they meet the girl and she's like, I'm a lesbian.
Yes.
Is it that? Yeah.
It's that scene.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So that's my claim to American Pie fame.
Incredible.
That I know someone who is related to someone who has a 10-second role in
Incredible.
That movie.
Were you really popular in high school?
Let's just say, yeah. I dropped that at parties and it kind of...
It really works.
Yeah.
There's
people
a scene
wanted to be my friend.
In American Pie or American Reunion where they're on a lake at a beach and these kids steal their jet skis. So Sean William Scott just goes and poops in their cooler.
Oh my God.
Sean William Scott.
Role Models, which he is in, is awesome. I will definitely go to bat for that. That's him and Paul Rudd. So superior to the American Pie series.
So took a quick detour through Sean William Scott's filmography that I was totally expecting.
That's all we have to say for this week's Sean William Scott podcast. We'll be back next week. Talking about
Jason
the
Biggs.
Early years. Yeah. Actually, I did just see Jason Biggs on Broadway, and he was actually pretty good. So a lot of American Pie in my life lately. This is weird. I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, so let's listen to, God, that was a really long tangent. Let's listen to Pains of Being Pure at Heart covering James' song Laid. All right, that was Pains of Being Pure at Heart and an in-depth discussion of Sean William Scott's life. And that's all we got this week. So thank you for listening. If you have any recommendations, tweet them in. We'll be back next week with some... Or actually, you know, next week is Thanksgiving week, I just realized. So we'll probably have a week off and then we'll be back in 2 weeks. Or as our friends across the pond call it, a fortnight.
Stop it.
No. As I was doing it, I was like, I hate myself, but I'm going for it. Anyways, okay, thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.